Nashville weather for today, mostly sunny skies and the high in the mid-90s. Right now, it's 82 degrees in Nashville. The time is 9 o'clock. Says You is up next.
Welcome to this week's edition of Says You. This week, we'll tackle every linguistic issue virtually.
It's unclear what people mean by virtually.
It's also unclear what people mean by virtuous.
Ooh. Only in Washington.
Come join our merry band in Vermont as they try to define arcane words chosen by their arcane host.
Well, now, wait a minute. Richard always goes to dogs. I don't know.
You know, the dog is here. I'll have you know.
And the dog is here.
And now that everyone's accounted for, let's get down to the serious business of serious wordplay.
Oh, pox, pox. Duck, suck, box, buck.
Are you laughing?
Boy, this is coming out better than I thought it was going to. You know. That's Says You, next.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky says he wants to pursue the biggest debt reduction deal possible without raising taxes. Republicans have been demanding big spending cuts in exchange for raising the nation's debt ceiling, but McConnell is acknowledging today that he expects a ceiling to be raised by the August 2nd deadline.
No, nobody's talking about not raising the debt ceiling. I haven't heard that discussed by anybody.
Some are.
Not in the Congress.
McConnell speaking on Fox News Sunday. Congressional leaders are due at the White House this evening for more talks. House Speaker John Boehner now says he favors a smaller $2 trillion deal instead of a broader agreement that would have reduced the deficit by $4 trillion over 10 years. The crew of the International Space Station is preparing to welcome the final flight of the space shuttle program. Shuttle Atlantis is due to dock in about an hour with a crew of only four, though. Officials say docking could be trickier than usual. The shuttle must perform a backflip to line up properly. Atlantis is delivering more than 4 tons of supplies to the station. Syria's vice president made an unusual move today. He saluted Syrians who have died in the past 4 months of anti-government protests. NPR's Deborah Amos says the government has been moving toward recognizing the protesters.
The government has been moving towards recognizing the role of the protesters on the streets of Syria. For the longest time, they only acknowledged army or security forces who were killed. Now they are saying that this meeting is taking place because so many Syrians sacrificed their blood on the streets of the cities of the country.
NPR's Deborah Amos reporting from Beirut. She says the talks are being boycotted by leading activists and opposition figures until the violent crackdown on protesters stops. For a third day, protesters are gathering in city squares across Egypt, vowing to stay there until the interim government meets their demands. NPR's Soraya Sarhadi Nelson in Cairo says Egypt's largest government building, located in the main square of the capital, is closed because of the protests.
The protesters say they want real democracy and justice for Egyptians killed during the 18-day uprising that ousted Hosni Mubarak earlier this year. Many are also asking the country's military rulers to step aside. The government so far is not forcibly trying to remove the protesters, who are living in tent cities and vowing to cut off major highways if their demands are not met. But protesters say they are not satisfied with interim Prime Minister Issam Sharaf's assurances in a televised speech that all policemen and officials involved in the killing of protesters will be suspended and that they will be prosecuted. Many Egyptians feel their revolution has stalled and that too many people from Mubarak's regime remain in power. Soraya Sarhadi Nelson, NPR News, Cairo.
Tens of thousands demonstrated in Cairo and several cities today. This is NPR News. There are no reports of additional problems at Japan's crippled nuclear plant. There was a strong earthquake in the region, though, today. It hit Japan's northeastern coast and briefly triggered a tsunami warning. The northeast coast was devastated by the quake and tsunami that hit back in March. It left nearly 23,000 people dead or missing and touched off a nuclear crisis. Joint Chiefs Chairman Mike Mullen is in China. He's in Beijing at the start of a four-day visit. As NPR's Louisa Lim reports, Mullen gave a nod towards China's growing influence by referring to China and the U.S. as the two Pacific powers.
It was the first trip to China in 4 years by a chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Mullen emphasized that the U.S. was not seeking to contain China and would hold talks from a posture of mutual respect. He said he was concerned that disputes in the South China Sea could flare up into conflict.
The worry, among others, that I have is that the ongoing incidents could spark a miscalculation and an outbreak that no one anticipated, and we should seek to avoid that under all circumstances.
He emphasized that the U.S. is committed to maintaining its military presence in Asia. Mullen will meet China's military leadership tomorrow, then tour Chinese army bases. Louisa Lim, NPR News, Beijing.
People in Britain are snapping up the final edition of the best-selling British tabloid News of the World. The paper is publishing its final edition today. Rupert Murdoch's News International is shutting it down because it's embroiled in a phone hacking scandal. As expected, Rupert Murdoch arrived in London today to address the crisis. Meanwhile, Prime Minister David Cameron is coming under pressure because of the crisis. I'm Giles Snyder, and this is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. Online at WTGrantFoundation.org.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Support for Says You in Vermont comes from the good folks at Vermont Public Radio and the Basin Harbor Club, celebrating 125 years of hospitality on the shores of Lake Champlain. On the web at basinharbor.com.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Schur.
Thank you. Thank you. From the Basin Harbor Club on the Vermont shores of Lake Champlain, welcome to Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. He's a jack of all trades, a hub of activity, a man who never tires, Barry Nolan.
Oh. Barry, wake up, Barry.
She's a big wheel in the arts, a driving force in philanthropy, a pedal to the metal kind of gal, Francine Akbar. And he's the gas that keeps us going, the rotor on our motor, the hunk with some junk in the trunk, Mr. Tony Khan.
My wife and I have so loved being here because I realized one of the things you like is that you're in a place where everybody's come there because they want to be in that place, as opposed to, I got transferred. You know. we've had such a great time, but I am glad that we're doing this inside tonight because we have a little porch in the little place we're standing in, and I looked out last night, and it was so inviting to sit out there, but I noticed there were some mosquitoes, and I noticed they were moving the lawn chairs. Sort of going, sit here! This works for me. Thank you very much.
You're familiar with the who might lead on this occasion.
Ich bin der Kapitän.
The hunk with the junk in the trunk.
All right. Tony will be the captain. To my left, team two, he's a Lake Champlain kind of guy. Narrow in the middle and virtually bottomless. Murray Horowitz. Three. She sports a Green Mountain type of persona, looks good in white, and likes being covered in fur. Lenore Shannon. And she's been looking forward to this trip that promises swimming, sailing, sunbathing, and food, glorious food, Miss Carolyn Faye Fox. All right, who's going to step up this week?
The sunbathing beauty.
Yes, I'll save that for tomorrow.
Carolyn will be the captain. Correct answers are worth 10 points or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners to grab a pen and paper. Let's begin. When I taught writing at Boston University, certain things always got my goat. Students who put an S on the word toward. Ooh. For example, certain misusages still haunt me from those days, so I've decided to take a Says You moment to revisit those collegiate catastrophes. See if you can do better than the communications majors I so often corrected. Carolyn, mm-hmm. Once and for all, what does the word redundant mean?
Once and for all, yep. What does the word redundant mean?
I'm not hitting that bell. No way. No way am I hitting that
bell.
Sounds
like 10 points to me, Richard.
That sounds like 10 points to me. That's right.
Well, something that is redundant is unnecessarily repetitive.
Unnecessarily repetitive.
Right. Unnecessarily repetitive.
I'm done here. I'm done here.
You know, it's like when Thoreau wrote, simplify.
Right, exactly. It does not mean, students always take it to mean useless or unable to perform or something like that. No, it is not. It implies an excess of something, which makes it more than needed and therefore unnecessary. Yes, so that's 10 points.
It's like my last job, I was told I was redundant.
You were redundant.
Yes, that's what they call it in England when they lay you off. You're
yes,
redundant.
Yes.
You're
redundancy.
And for anyone who's ever been touched by the BBC, it's one of those things they tell you and you think they're complimenting you. And you say, nah. You know, you're a redundancy. And they say, oh, thank you so much.
I've seen redundancies in my life, but you.
And then they say, brilliant, brilliant.
Yes, brilliant. Yeah.
You're dead. Brilliant. Yeah.
Tony, yes. When do we use past, P-A-S-T, and past, P-A-S-S-E-D?
Well, then you've passed. You're past.
Well, that's actually...
It's one of these euphemisms, certainly, for dead or died. Past also means it's a verb. It's the past participial form of the verb pass. So having, you know, past isn't used as an adjective. Past is P-A-S-T.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
go
who
ahead.
Cares? Want me to spell these things?
Yeah, that would help.
And, well, past, P-A-S-T, is a noun, and it is an abstraction for that hunk of space where you've got to be, he could be at least, you know, like 35.
There's one other usage of P-A-S-T. Do you know what that is?
Oh, you can use it could you, no.
What? No,
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yes.
What do you think, other side?
You can use it as an adjective, as in times past.
No.
Or food that is past
its expiry date.
Expiration date.
Well, actually...
Which makes it a redundancy.
Actually, you can use it as a preposition. In a phrase, I drove...
Oh, he drove past me.
Past my house.
Oh, right. He drove past my house.
Something along those lines.
I went too far, I drove past my house.
Yes, past, P-A-S-S-E-D... is the past tense of the verb to pass, thus Congress passed the bill, and you passed the point of no return. Mm-hmm. But past, P-A-S-T, is a preposition meaning beyond. I drove past my house, or it refers
or
to
now.
Beyond.
So you use gas to drive past my house, but if I... Never mind.
Go there, Murray.
No, never mind. 8 points for that.
Don't be rude.
And Murray, try this one. Why should you cringe... when you hear someone say, I'm literally starving to death.
Oh,
well, because if they were literally starving to death, they would be dead very soon.
Exactly.
Figuratively speaking, however, they are starving to death.
That's exactly right. Very good. 10 points. This drove me crazy.
No, it didn't literally drive me crazy.
Literally drove me crazy.
You were crazy before you heard them say that.
No, I think Richard's right.
Yeah. He's past due.
Yeah. If someone says, I'm literally starving to death, you're about to witness a death. Literally means exactly what you say. No metaphors, no analogies. Collapse is at hand. So please.
Yeah, virtually is used the same way nowadays, too. You know, it's unclear what people mean by virtually.
That's true.
Right.
It's also unclear what people mean by virtuous.
Ooh.
Only in Washington.
That is unclear.
Try this one, Francine. What's the difference? Oh, I just had a moment here where I remembered seeing this on about 4 test papers in one semester. Francine, what's the difference between venal and venial? V-E-N-A-L and V-E-N-I-A-L.
It's a venial sin.
Yes.
Right. Which is not a deadly sin.
If
It is a deadly sin.
Oh, it is a deadly sin. It's one of the deadly sins.
No, it is not.
It's not a deadly sin.
It is not a deadly sin.
It's one of the lesser sins. It's not gluttony and pride.
It's a misdemeanor sin.
You're going to get it.
Misdemeanor sin carries a fine, right. You know, but...
You'll do time.
Yeah.
Right. Venal is just awful. Mean and nasty and...
Small, petty.
Oh, I think it's worse than small.
No, it really doesn't. Well, when I looked this up in the dictionary, finally.
Yes.
Venal has a very particular meaning. A very
Hold on. Venom.
Venom. Money.
Money.
Money is what it's all about. Yes.
Oh.
Stingy.
Did that come from the audience? Venal means corrupt, able to be bribed.
Ah, Massachusetts.
Yes, our neighbor to the south. Yes, Massachusetts. That's what it means. Venial means pardonable, not serious. A pardonable offense is a venial sin.
The mortal sin in the Catholic Church is the bad one. The venial sin, you can get away with. But
are we having a point or what?
Mortal sin.
You have 8 points for that.
Okay.
So good job. Try this one. Oh, this one just kills me. Try this one, Lenore. What is the best way to flush out an idea?
Oh, man.
Are you kidding? It's flesh.
Yes.
What's the question?
What?
Most of the ideas that the students that I have when I talk
were flushable.
I got news for you.
What does flush out mean, and what does flesh out mean?
Well, flush out means to wash out and do away with, down the sewer, goodbye,
or
sayonara.
Or in hunting, you flush out part.
Right, you make a big motion to get them to... So, you know, in some way, it might, you know, you could metaphorically think that that would apply to a group of people sitting in a room, but that wasn't what they were asking for. Fleshing out is coming from within.
Well, actually, it means a little more than that.
Well, fleshing out an idea to add bulk to the structure.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. 10 points. That's exactly right.
Nice.
They always used to say this. The students would come up and say, well, I'm trying to flush out the idea. And I would say, oh, really? Where is it hiding? Because...
You could hand them a plunger.
Yeah, really. It's because the best way to flush out an idea is probably with firearms. You know, it's means to frighten quarry from a hiding place. You probably want to flesh it out, which means to add substance to an incomplete rendering or idea. And finally, Barry, what does it mean to be nonplussed?
Nonplussed is to be caught off guard, surprised, and uncertain.
Amazed, right?
Amazed.
And of course, it does not mean...
It does not mean that you have not added additional things.
Fine, I don't care. That's exactly right. My students always used to thought it meant calm, cool, and collected. I'm nonplussed.
Yeah.
And I guess that at that age, that's what you think it is, but it doesn't. It means it's from the Latin for no further, non plus, and it implies being at the end of your wits or abilities, and no further action is possible. Let's go on to round two, which is played with a little help from our friends Jenny and the Junketeers. It is the first of the Says You Bluffing rounds. Carolyn, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The other two have cards that say, please bluff. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Tony's team. 10 points up for grabs to Tony if he can find the bluffers, or to you, Carolyn, if he can't. Take a few seconds to come up with a definition for the word frop. P-H-R-O-P. Frop. Jenny?
I can't give you anything but love, baby. That's the only thing. Plenty of it, baby. You gotta dream a while, scheme a while. You're sure to find. I said happiness, and I guess all the things that you always pine for.
Says You kicks off its new season next September with a return visit to St. Joseph College in West Hartford, Connecticut. Tickets, information, and details available, of course, at sayu.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. Next season's schedule will be posted shortly on our website, and we hope this is the year we'll be visiting your town, and you can come join us for a live performance of Says You. Says You returns after this from home.
I'm Tom Asbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, drone wars in Pakistan, Yemen, Libya, Somalia. The U.S. is deep into unmanned warfare. It's a new world, but is it really high-tech, low-risk? Plus, the Atlanta school test cheating scandal and its echoes in the education debate across the country. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
Weekday mornings from 9 till 11.
On the next Fresh Air, writer Sally Jacobs on the troubled life of Barack Obama Sr. She doubts Barack Obama would be president if his Kenyan father had been a strong presence in his life.
I think he would have had to wrestle with a neglectful father, an insecure person, and someone who probably would have prevented him from following the path that he chose.
Join us.
Weekdays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m.
You're listening to Says You on 90.3 WPLN, Nashville Public Radio. Time is 9:21, 83 degrees in Nashville.
Says You coming to our town? Where can I find old shows? Who played that music I heard last week? So many questions, all answered on our website at saysyou.net. There you can find tickets to tapings, Dally on the Daily Dispatch, or access our complete archive. You can contribute a question to the show and absorb ridicule on a national scale. This and more at saysyou.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U.
Until that lucky day, you know darn well, baby, that I can't give you anything. I can't give you anything. Yes, I can't give you anything but love.
That is Jenny and the Junketeers. Help me thank Andrea Hollenbeck on the keys, Gus Ziesing on the sax and clarinet, Elliot Berg on the trumpet, Matt Davis on the skins, Mike Graziadei on the drums, and Jenny Johnson singing for us. Thanks so much, guys. I'd like to take a moment and thank our scorekeepers. That's Alec Gustafson and Ben Scher. Thanks very much, you guys, for keeping the score. We have had a few moments with the word frop. We will go first to Carolyn Faye Fox.
Frop. Frop is a pretentious milkshake in Massachusetts. It isn't. It's actually a little more exotic than that, because a frop is the stage setting for a circus of trained fleas. The frop.
Got a circus of trained fleas. Set them up on the frop. You're ready to go. All right. Could be that. Not likely, but possible. Murray, what say you?
Fleas. I'm itching to know what the real definition is. I'm sorry, no. Frop, you know, when you look at this word, there are just so many jokes that leap out at you. I confess that all of them have eluded me. And I'm trying to think of an example, but this happens in, I don't know if it's in Parliament or in Congress, but a frop
is a bill. We see there must be an example right now when they introduce a bill to draw support away from another bill, so that everybody can vote for this and then the other bill fails. That's a frop.
Oh.
So it's a legislative maneuver.
Right.
Try to draw attention to one bill so they'll not pass another one. That's a frop.
Right.
It could be that, or it could be something else. What say you, Lenore?
Well, a frop is, and I must confess that I am guilty of using
fropping, if you will.
It's an insincere phrase, sort of, when you see someone and you haven't seen them in a while, but you're not really excited to see them, and you say, oh, you know, we must have lunch sometime, or something like that. And
it's like a verbal air kiss.
It's a, exactly. Or you're looking well, or is,
right,
is
right.
that your wife?
Well, it's,
I get it all the time.
Sort of an
you look great.
Yeah.
You must be about...
Right, you got to be...
We must do this again sometime.
Exactly.
Yeah, all right, so it's an insincere remark, a verbal air kiss, just not really true. That's a frop. So it could be that. It could be that insincere remark. It could be the legislative maneuver. Or remember the stage setting for the flea circus way back when? It could be that, too.
Yes.
It's one of those three, and, Tony, the choice is yours.
Frop? Well, let's talk about the circus. I can imagine frop being something that might be produced by an elephant, but I cannot I cannot imagine a flea on the flying frop, a three-frop circus.
Are there really circuses of trained fleas?
Oh, yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. It was big during the Depression, I think, wasn't it?
That would be now.
They could afford that. Yeah.
What would a frop... Actually, what did fleas do in a flea circus? And they basically just
hung out in trailers.
Yeah, right.
Smoked cigarettes.
Right.
Hung around the craft table all day
little
long.
Little teeny tiny TVs through little tiny windows.
What about the insincerity?
If there really were flea circuses, this is gaining credibility.
There really were flea uh-huh. circuses.
Really?
Right. You mean P-H-L-E? Flea?
It's
definitely a prop in a flea circus. A flea. Or Daffy Duck would say.
If it was an insincere greeting, don't you think we'd all know it?
Yes, Francine. You know, whatever you say.
Exactly. You took the words right out of my mouth. I solemnly swear.
Let's have lunch.
I solemnly swear you're right. Legislative maneuver, PH, I don't think there are any.
Nah.
PH has got nothing to do with Congress. PhDs, nothing.
Great glove, but I don't think
totally. Okay, we're going to go for all of the obvious reasons that we have displayed flea circus prop.
Well,
do I have the full support of my colleagues? I'm feeling very
it's too late now.
Yeah, Tony, that's a great idea.
You seem to be onto something.
I was just kind of going with logic.
Okay, going with logic then, Carolyn.
I don't think that has a place here.
Yeah, they have come to the conclusion that a frop is a stage setting for a flea circus. Please tell me this is not true.
Oh, this is not true.
10 points.
It seems so obvious now.
Yeah, it's just not true at all. All right, audience, what do you think? How many say the legislative maneuver? How many say the insincere greeting? Well, it's not even really close, Lenore. Most of them think it's the insincere greeting. Is that, in fact, what a frop is?
I'd like to thank all you wonderful people for coming to this wonderful occasion. A frop is a euphemistic, insincere phrase, as we must have lunch.
That's what it is. Very good, audience. You got it.
How can we not know this?
You know, I'm at an age now where I say to people, you know, we must have had lunch.
Are you full?
Oh, great, the senility diet.
Yeah.
I just want to say, Francine, you did a really good job.
I hope you'll call me.
I deserve it.
Murray.
I want to try this next category. Every now and then I just get something up here that says, this is going to be a great category. Then I get two-thirds of the way through and I go, boy, we're in a lot of trouble here. But I kept going anyway, so let's see how it works, all right? Let's go on to round three. Sticks, Nick, Hick, Picks.
What? No.
Sticks, Nicks, Hick, Picks. This is how Abel Green, the famed editor of Hollywood's Variety, headlined the reaction of rural audiences to movies about rural life.
Oh,
Sticks,
yeah.
Nicks, Hick, Picks.
Yeah.
Okay, and it made us wonder, how might Variety handle headlines about other stories? Thus, this round of Says You's News Views. I'll give you the gist of the story, you give me the pithy banner.
Oh, God.
For example, a devoted moviegoer's swindle is a film fan flim-flam. And I'm glad I got through that. All right?
Is it make it up or choose one?
No, make it up. Do what you can come up with something
better than what you came up with, Richard?
I'll let the audience decide whether it's worthy. I don't think that's fair.
I'd like to change my major. Professor.
It's not the first time I've heard that either. All right, try this one, Carolyn.
All right.
Famous lip syncers run amok.
Famous lip syncers run amok. Oh, Milli Vanilli? Silly Milli Vanilli.
Well, you're almost there. They run amok.
Milli Vanilli gone rockabilly.
No. What do you think?
Milli Vanilli.
Really silly.
Well, I'm giving you at least 7 points so far.
Milli Vanilli. All right, run amok.
Ouch.
Thank you, audience.
Yeah. I think that was loud enough that people in Duluth heard that.
I think so.
Please, we ask you to refrain the brilliance.
Can I have a different one, please?
No, that's it's always hard because Carolyn has to play the first round. But yeah, it's Milli Vanilli, go willy nilly. But I'll give you 7 points for your effort and good job. All right, try this one, Tony.
Okay.
What might the headline be? Thief nabbed by any means necessary.
What's the first word?
Thief. Oh. T-H-I-E-F. Thief.
Thief nabbed by any means necessary.
Yep.
Crook. Hooked.
He's getting it.
Crooked, hooked. By schnooked. Schnook, crook, hooked.
he's right on.
Crook, hooked. By rook.
Or by rook or by crook.
By rook or crook.
Not rook or crook, but of course.
Hooked. By rook or crook.
Nook or crook.
Or by rook.
No. Other side, tell them what it is.
Took by hook or crook.
That's right. Crook hooked by hook or crook.
See, you couldn't get it right.
I got it right. How many points do I give them? Give them 8 points because they got a little further. You see where we're going here. Let's give it a shot. Try this one, Murray. Duty character seen at Salvador's Eatery.
Wait a minute. Duty character?
D-O-O-D-Y. Duty character seen at Duty. Salvador's Eatery.
Dilly Dally is seen at...
No.
Salvador Dally... Deli. Dilly Dally at Dally Deli.
10 points. Oh. Very good. Nice try. Hey.
You're giving him 10 points for a speech impediment?
I want to say one thing. I got this, that the whole idea for this category came from someone who sent me in Dilly Dally at the Dally Deli and didn't sign their names.
Duh.
So I have no idea who they are or where it came from. Please, if you've heard this anywhere in the country, please write in and tell me who you are.
Listen,
so I can actually give you credit.
We can catch Osama bin Laden and Whitey Bulger. We can find a person who came up with
Dilly Dally at the Dally Deli. Jeez. It is, in fact, Dilly Dally, the Howdy Doody character, Dilly Dally at the Dally Deli. All right, try this one, Francine. Too many cosmopolitans lead to the Tattletale's downfall.
Tattletale's downfall. Too many cosmopolitans.
Gossiping.
No, lead to the Tattletale's downfall.
Tattletale's downfall.
I think I heard someone... Someone from this side of the room
said something. Too many cosmopolitans.
Paddleton.
This is a tough one.
Yeah.
Cosmopolitans are the drinks. Yeah. Right. Cosmopolitans.
Mm-hmm. We got it.
You got it?
Yep.
Excuse me a moment.
Too many Cosmos. So too many Cosmos. Pink drink.
Pink?
Sinks.
Oh, that's good. Pink How drink. About? Sinks.
Pinks. Sinks. Fink.
Yeah. Pink. Oh, they got it.
They
got it. How many of you out there had that one? I'm just curious. A couple of them. All right. Pink drink sinks finks.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Pink drink sinks fink. Try this. Is really unfair, Lenore, but try it. Oh. Wait to hear the one after.
Yes.
Yeah. This is unfair, Lenore, but give it a shot. Stern appearance enlivens high school dance.
Doesn't
Howard?
No. Stern appearance.
Frown?
No, you actually had the right...
Stern appearance enlivens high school dance?
Yes.
Stern high school appearance. Dance is a prom.
Not a prom.
It's not a prom. It's a mixer.
No. It's a mean.
No, that's not
it. Howard something.
No, it's not Howard.
Stern appearance.
It is Howard. It refers dance? To Howard Stern, but it isn't Howard.
So,
what it is.
Okay, Bob I got Givens. It.
You got it?
No, I'm close.
Let me see.
Stern appearance.
Yes.
Stern appearance. Oh.
Enlivens high school dance.
Francine has it.
Well,
hop.
I don't have
it's
all.
It's a hop. It's a hop.
Yes.
It's a hop.
Okay.
There you go.
Enlivens.
Shock jock. Shock jock rocks.
Rocks hop? No, couldn't be.
You know what? Close enough. That's right. Shock jock rock sock hop.
Oh, sock hop.
All right. Shock jock. Of course, Howard Stern rocks the sock hop.
I thought you were just going to go
that
with
Howard
Stern.
That doesn't really follow the formula.
Oh.
You put Howard Stern and sock hop in the same sentence.
Yeah, exactly. Only on Says You, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right.
Well, you're here. And finally, the most unfair, mean-spirited one of them all. I'll give you a little help on this one, but try it, Barry. Anaheim's hockey fortunes are draining team coffers.
I've got it too.
Ducks.
Anaheim's hockey fortunes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Ducks suck.
Bucks.
Ducks suck.
Bucks.
Bucks.
Yes.
What?
Well, they're
we
hockey.
We got lost someplace.
Yeah, hockey
puck.
Fortunes.
Puck.
Oh, pucks, bucks. Ducks suck, pucks buck.
Are you laughing?
Boy, this is coming out better than I thought it was going to. Try it again. Anaheim's hockey fortunes are draining team coffers.
What do you mean, try it again? That was great.
What did you say?
That's what you should have written.
Yeah, what did you say?
Ducks suck. Pucks, bucks.
Ducks, bucks.
Or buck, buck.
No. Ducks, bucks, sucks,
no, you shouldn't make me keep repeating this.
Yeah, because it's not going to work out for anybody.
Go wrong really fast.
Yeah.
I think it's redundant.
Anybody on the other side want to help, man?
Yeah. Ducks, luck.
He got it.
Yeah.
Sucks,
pucks,
bucks.
Sucks, puck, bucks.
Yeah.
Ducks, luck, sucks, bucks. No.
Audience, you want to give it a
lucky
shot?
Lucky ducks. Unlucky ducks.
I've heard just about enough of this. I'm going to give you the 10 points. That's all. Yes, sir.
Because
that was an absolutely noble struggle. Anybody in the audience want to try it out? No, I had ducks puck luck sucks bucks.
So
that's,
oh, well.
Yeah, but
that's
you were wrong.
Said.
But they got their 10 points, and thanks, you guys, for playing that round.
Richard,
that
can I tell you my favorite Variety headline?
Yeah.
Never got printed in Bartlett's or anything else, but and I think it was still the Abel Green era. It was 1977-78. There were a series of horrible blizzards, which people here in Vermont may remember. And it knocked out all of the theater and movie activity in the town of Buffalo, New York. And the Variety headline was... Blizz boffs buff biz.
Is that right? Excellent. We may come back to that category again. I had fun with that, and I hope you did too. Let's go on to round four, which is Tony's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word. Two will bluff. 10 points, Carolyn, if you can find the rose amid thorns. Take a few moments to come up with a plausible definition for the word schnibble. S-C-H-N-I-B-B-L-E.
Don't go there, Tony.
Schnibble. Folks.
Crazy. I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. I'm crazy. Crazy for feeling so blue. I knew you loved me as long as you wanted. And then someday you leave me for somebody new.
Just a quick reminder, Says You returns to the campus of St. Joseph College in West Hartford, Connecticut on Saturday, September 24th for a live performance of the show. Tickets, information, and details are available on the website at saysyou.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. The rest of next season's schedule will be posted shortly on our website, and we hope this is the year you can come join us for a live performance of Says You.
Worry.
Briefly, Says You pauses. We'll be right back.
I'm Deborah Becker. Join us next time for the news and these stories here and now. We'll have the latest on the NATO mission in Libya as it approaches the four-month mark. Also, a crash course in Candidate Lit, the books written by presidential hopefuls. Newt Gingrich alone has 24. That's Public Radio's Daily Digest of News and Culture, here and now.
Weekdays at noon.
Hi, it's us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers.
You know, I'm having all kinds of problems trying to trade in my old car.
Oh, dealer's still insisting that it run, huh?
Exactly. If it ran, I wouldn't have to trade it in.
Well, if your old car won't leave the driveway or won't leave it reliably, donate it to this station through the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program.
You'll help pay for the programs you love, and you'll pocket a tax deduction.
Pretty good, huh? Here's how to do it.
For information on supporting Nashville Public Radio with your vehicle donation, visit our website, WPLN.org.
You're listening to Says You on 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio. Coming up at about 18 minutes at 10 o'clock is Studio 360. And at 11 o'clock, it's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Right now, the time is 9:42. It's 84 degrees in Nashville.
Says You says thanks to all the folks from Vermont to San Francisco, Booth Bay, Maine to Cleveland, Boston to Los Angeles, everyone who came out last year to join the fun at a live performance of Says You. Next season's schedule of tapings will be posted shortly on our website at saysyou.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. Just follow that Join the Fun link, and we'll show you how to join the fun.
So crazy for thinking that my love would hold you. I'm crazy for trying, crazy for crying, and I'm crazy for loving you.
That was Jenny and the Junketeers. Thanks, you guys. Thank you for giving us a little time with the word schnibble. We will go first to a pensive Tony Khan.
Well, I'm amazed that, since it's obviously of Yiddish origin, it's one of those wonderful words that usually creeps its way into English without any effort whatsoever. And for some reason, nobody uses the word schnibble, and they should. My grandmother used it as a cooking term. She was a lovely lady whose native language was broken Hungarian. And we would always try to make sense of her little notes around the house. Like her will was, I want all my children to have the money in my life insurance, but it was, my money by the Hancock should be Igvili. Igvili was I-K-V-I-L-I. Her recipe for a hamburger went something like, first get a Messer, hock the Fleisch, then make it besser with a dribble schnibble. So... which simply means get some meat, you know, and chop it up, and then fry it. So schnibble means to chop meat into little pieces.
To schnibble.
To schnibble.
Get the knife and schnibble the brisket.
Schnibble the flesh.
To cut meat into small pieces. Could be that, or could be something else. Francine?
Schnibble is kibble for a schnauzer.
Schnibble.
I hope so.
It's actually quite high-end dog food.
High-end dog food.
Which end which of the end? Dog?
The mouth end.
Do I leave that in? Yeah, I'll leave that one in. Okay. It's high-end dog food is schnibble. Okay? Could be that. Or something else. Barry?
A schnibble is to engrave initials with a knife. You may recall it was Noel Coward's most famous piece of haiku. He was known for that.
The famous Japanese poet, Noel Coward.
Too much schnapps, too many schnibbles. I snap, I collapse, ah, love.
Everybody out there counting syllables?
And scene.
So to schnibble is to engrave initials with a knife. Could be that. It could be the high-end dog food, or it could be to cut meat into small pieces. It's one of those. And Carolyn, the choice is yours.
Oh, I was thinking it was that famous New York artist, Julian Schnibble.
Right.
He's in London.
He's in London now?
Right, no,
I think so. All right. All right. Let's see. To chop meat into little pieces, I don't think so. Nope. All right. High-end dog food?
All right. Now, wait a minute. Richard Wolf. Always goes to dogs.
Let's not talk about his life here.
I don't know.
No. You know, the dog is here. I'll have you know that.
And the dog is here.
I don't know which end of the dog is the high end. I think... It's a kind of a from. What was the thing we had? It's kind of to throw us off because it's one of those things that like sounds Yiddish but isn't, like far fetched, you know.
Yes, or ladle.
A ladle far fetched. Is a ladle far fetched?
Wait a minute. Is it schnibble or schnipple?
Schnibble.
Schnibble.
I thought it was schnipple.
I'm sorry.
This is a family show.
I think Barry's got the right definition, but that's only my thought.
Because he had time to write a haiku.
That's right.
All right. So, Lenore?
What do you think, Lenore?
What do you think?
Well, now that I know that it's schnibble and not schnipple...
makes all the difference.
Okay. Engrave initials with a knife. That's sort of a unusual thing to come up with.
This isn't an unusual show. Anyway, you thought it was schnipple and not schnibble? It's kind of a BP thing, which could result in a lot of sludge.
Yeah, that's it.
So, go ahead, take it away, Carolyn.
All right, then, we will go with Barry for schnibble to engrave initials with a knife, even though that doesn't sound like it makes much sense either.
Barry,
we have to pick one out of three.
Yeah, Barry, even though it doesn't make much sense, they think that schnibble means to engrave initials with a knife. Is that what it means?
Well, as Noel Coward rarely said, no.
It does not.
The dog food.
That was a bluff. All right, audience. What do you think?
Dog food.
How many say the dog food?
Sure, we'll go with that.
How many say to cut meat into small pieces? All right. Well, Tony, I think this audience thinks that to schnibble is to cut meat into small pieces. Is that in fact what it means?
You know, it's to chop meat into small pieces.
That's what it is. Yeah. Good job, audience. Second time tonight. Let's go on to round five. In his effort to keep up with what's on the world's collective mind these days, Phil has tried typing in a single letter of the alphabet into Google to see what would come up first.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Can you guess the leading entry of each of the following letters?
Walmart.
Carolyn?
Scientology.
Yeah. What comes up first if you type in X?
X-ray.
No.
Xylophone.
Extra. Now think, you got to think internet and modern. What comes up first?
Oh, Xbox.
Xbox.
Oh, Xbox is exactly. Well, no, I can't give you too many guesses there, but I'll give you 8 points for that.
All right.
8 points for that effort. Try this one, Tony. What happens when you type in Y? What comes up first?
Y2K.
No, it does not. That's a good
guess. This would likely be a sponsored link, right?
Yeah.
Yahoo
is actually second, so you'll get some.
Okay.
What would come up before Yahoo?
Before Yahoo,
with a Y. I think the score. I get the feeling the scorekeepers have the.
Yeah.
Is there a video game that begins with a Y?
No. Well, there may be, but it's not this one.
So it's a bigger business than Yahoo, and it starts with Y.
Well, it's certainly more...
Kids know it, but we don't.
It's pretty popular, that's for sure.
Is it a silent Y?
It is
a silent Y.
You mean like EEP or something like that? Or
any kind of... computer-related thing with a Y.
Oh, I don't think they're going to get it, but I am going to give you points for getting the second one, which
Yipster?
Was Yahoo.
I give up. I don't know.
All right. Well, I give you 6 points for getting to there, and I'm going to go to the scorekeepers. Scorekeepers?
YouTube.
YouTube.
Oh!
YouTube
Tony
is exactly...
was one of the first people of my generation to be talking about YouTube.
Yes, and but not tonight.
But not tonight.
It's a silent Y. It should be
YouTube. Try this one, Murray.
Okay.
What comes up when you first when you type in D?
Digital data.
Not D
data. No. It's got to be something. Internet commercially. Data
comes up first.
Maybe. Is it a sport?
Well, I can't. It's not 20 questions here. This is.
Data. Not data something, huh? No, okay.
I can give you a hint. It'll cost you some points. I can't.
Death is coming up here, is what's. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was thrilled when I saw this. I can't believe it's the first one.
Is it dog?
That's my hint?
Yep.
That you were thrilled is the hint?
Oh, yeah.
Dog. It's got to do with dogs.
No, nothing to do with dogs.
Dysentery.
Well, then why are we thrilled?
Dysentery. D-list? D-list?
No. Any thoughts on the other side?
Digital?
No. Any thoughts from the scorekeepers?
Dessert.
What do you think, audience? Dictionary.com comes up first. And that's why I was really thrilled about that. I thought that was great. All right, try this one, Francine. What comes up first when you type in J?
J-dating.
No, I would have, and that's not a bad guess either.
J.
Not J-Lo, right?
Jell-O.
No, another good guess. Jell-O.
J-Lo.
Not J-Lo either.
J-Street.
No, this would be something that would really need an internet presence. I'll give you a little bit of a hint, too.
Journalism.
Well, I don't think they're going to get any help from the other side. I'm going to give you 5 points for your guesses, but that's a
jewelry.
Bit
jewelry?
No.
Jay-Z?
Anybody want to take a shot at it?
The movie.
Now, there's a whole lot of them out there, but the real answer is...
J.C. Penney?
JetBlue.
JetBlue.
JetBlue. is what comes up first. You can try it if you want. Try this one, Lenore. What comes up first when you type in you?
YouTube. Oh, sorry.
You know what? It actually could be that. You.
Under Armour.
Underwear. Under Armour.
Under Armour.
No, it's actually, you know, most of these, it's interesting. Most of these are, you know, companies, are enterprises.
U-Haul.
U-Haul is a great guess. You'll get some points for that. That's not it.
Guess.
U-Haul is in the top five. That's why I'm...
United States.
Well, you're getting there.
United Airlines.
USA.
U.S. Airways.
No.
United Airlines. United Van Lines.
Oh!
Oh, yeah. Ooh is spelled with a U. Ooh.
I just passed the vowel.
Oh. United States Army.
Ah. No, not that. You know, I'm going to give you some points.
United Nations?
I'm going to give you five points for your guesses. Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm going to go to the other side.
UPS. U.S. Post Office?
UPS.
USPS, the United States Postal Service.
Oh, USPS.
Oh, yes.
Not UPS.
Yes.
No.
And the most popular search is zip codes.
Is number one. So you get 5 points for that. And finally, Barry, whole game rested on your shoulders. What comes up first when you type in E?
E-Trade.
No. That's
email.
That's like seven or eight. Number seven or eight.
Okay.
What's the
A E B C D A D?
Probably not Eastern Airlines. No.
eBay
is number two.
Oh.
Go for it. eBay is number two.
Help me.
It's not eBay. It's not E-Link. It's not.
No, you're going to get points for eBay because you that's number two.
But we need 10 to win.
Give it a shot. Give it a shot.
Email.
Mail.
No, not email.
Gmail.
Anybody want to take a shot?
eHarmony.
Not eHarmony. ESPN from the band, was that? ESPN is number one.
Oh.
I'm going to give you 5 points for your efforts because you got number two, which leaves us with an 80-80 tie. Oh. Congratulations to both teams.
Oh,
good job. Wow. Right down to the wire. That is all we have time for.
Tell the other team we must have lunch.
That is all we have time for this week. Thanks so much to Tim Link and all the folks here at the Basin Harbor Club. Also to Ty Robertson, Robin Turnow, and all our good friends at Vermont Public Radio for their long friendship. Sharon Salk and other writers, Antonio Oliart mans the meters back there, and Zach Moore is our associate producer and webmaster. So long from Vermont, where at one time it was illegal to tie a giraffe to a telephone pole, and where women must still get written permission from their husbands to wear false teeth. This is true. Thanks for making it fun this week, Vermont. See you next week. Support for Says You in Vermont comes from the good folks at Vermont Public Radio and the Basin Harbor Club, celebrating 125 years of hospitality on the shores of Lake Champlain. On the web at basinharbor.com. You can hear Says You again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at saysyou.net. Just follow that show downloads link and find high-quality copies available. Benjamin, give him the skinny.
Says You. Created and produced by Pippin and Finch. Busted.
You've been listening to Says You on 90.3 WPLN, Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule for all of our program channels, including our newest service, Classical 91.1, at WPLN.org. Support for our programming comes from community support. Many companies will match gifts to Nashville Public Radio made by employees and retirees. Ask your employer if they have a matching gift program or find out more in the membership section of our website at nashvillepublicradio.org. Nashville weather for today, mostly sunny skies and the high in the mid-90s. Tonight, mostly clear skies, the low around 75 degrees. And for tomorrow on Monday, mostly sunny and hot with a high in the upper 90s. Right now, it's 86 degrees in Nashville. The time is 10 o'clock. And Studio 360 is up next.